Hello, hello, darlings. Welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast, your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. This is a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as you explore the transformative power of stepping into greatness. Come into alignment with your God-given power and gifts, unleash your soul, and learn to co-create a life you love. And as you become the writer of your own story, in this podcast, you're going to find the inspiration, practical tips, and the sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You are in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass. Okay, you guys. So it's Wealth Check Wednesday and I'm trying to slow my heart rate because I actually got nervous as shit for a second because the gentleman I'm about to introduce you to is a big deal. Okay. I mean, you could count on one hand how many people are doing what he does. He's one of the top trainers in network marketing. He's been in the industry for 35 years, coaching for 19 years. I have read his book, Fearless Networker. He has a book out there too. So I want to introduce Todd Falcone, you guys.
What's up? Listen, bitch.
Yeah, listen, bitch. It's the term of endearment.
Love it.
All the lovelies. So good, man. This podcast has been so fun. And I've been watching your page. You're busy. You're killing it. You're slaying the day with all these things. And I think that, you know, my audience gets tired of hearing me kind of repeat the same stuff all of the time. And I think it's nice to give them a fresh perspective. And I went through a phase where I was network marketing MLM hurt. So I went through a phase of I could see all the toxic stuff. I could see all the bullshit. And I've kind of grown through that now. It went through, you know, I'm coming back full circle to think, man, but there really is so many benefits to the industry. So many benefits. So am I going to walk around with, you know, an ick forever? No. And it's people like you that have stayed relentlessly paving the way for all of us. Cause I know you've seen the bullshit. I know you've been through the toxic parts of this and you're kind of one of the greater, you know, the greater vision of the industry. Like people like you are still keeping it authentic, keeping it real. There's no sneaky leaky stuff going on with you. How'd you get started?
Yeah. And there are some cool people in network marketing. It's not a bunch I mean, there's bad people everywhere. So we can talk about that later. But I got started in network marketing literally right out of college. I was going to school at Long Beach State and going through career fair, which they do at schools. And they got companies that come to, you know, the university. And I remember doing a job interview with like Enterprise Rental Car. And then I got a phone call out of the blue. This guy called me up. I remember his name, Jim. I'm with Jim. I'm with Orange County Marketing Group. We're a marketing company. We're looking for people that can train and manage others in the expansion of our company. We'd love to talk to you. And I was like, oh my God, this is the way it works. They just come at you. They come to get you. Like, right. I had no idea. I'm so clueless. Right. And I ended up driving down to Irvine, California and walked into what I thought was a job interview, but it was actually a business opportunity meeting for a network marketing company. I didn't even know what network marketing was. Like I had never heard of it before. In fact, literally up until the moment that I discovered network marketing, it didn't exist. So it was like a non-existent thing. So I didn't have, you know, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, friends that tried one of those things. It didn't work. Those pyramids, the only pyramids I knew about were Egypt. So I went in with a really clean mind. And just saw it for what it was. I'm like, wait a second, here's a product that you can share with other people, make a retail profit. The product made sense. And then you can go build a team. There's no limit to the size of the team and you can earn a percentage on everything that they do. And I was like, God, this is brilliant. Like, I mean, this is just, and no boss. Like I've never liked having a boss. So it's kind of an added bonus. And so that's, you know, it started that journey and that was 35 years ago. So long time.
That's incredible. How important do you think it is for people right now, even if we have hope that, you know, the stuff in our country and our government is kind of going to change soon? How important is it still to have the multiple streams of income?
I think it's always important. You never know when shit's going to hit the fan. So, you know, whatever those streams are. I think sometimes when people, especially network marketers, when they hear multiple streams of income, they think, oh, I should be in multiple networks.
10 market. Businesses. Yeah.
That's not what it means. That means like, right. Okay, I got, you know, a couple Airbnbs or I've got, you know, investments in different places or I'm investing in this company or I've got, you know, but not multiple. It's hard enough to build one deal, let alone two, three or four.
Right.
So, I think I'm a big fan of multiple streams of income. as I mean, honestly, as many as you can manage. Like for me, like I, most of my streams of income are passive, so they don't require work. I mean, the one thing that really requires work is me speaking, coaching, and training, and all the other stuff is like my money going to work for me. So I think it's very important.
Well, if someone, because you haven't, you came into network marketing without knowing what it was. So you didn't have any influence about it. You didn't have the MLM hurt that a lot of people have. And I think a lot of my audience, obviously, because they kind of reflect who we are, right? I think a lot of my audience has experienced that MLM hurt. How would you, what would you say to them to kind of get back on the horse again?
Yeah, I think it's like, we got to look at where's the hurt come from? Did the, you know, I mean, it's interesting because I hear a lot of times like, oh, I got burned. And I'm like, well, what do you mean you got burned?
Yeah.
Like I went into this company and, you know, they went out of business. Well, you didn't get burned. The company went out of business. Shit happens. So companies go out of business all the time, in and out of network marketing. Maybe you had a shitty sponsor and they treated you like crap. And they used you. I mean, that sucks. But most of us have had friends use us. We've had really, you know, we've been in relationships where we were used or abused, either most emotionally or physically. So you gotta, like, it's kind of like, it's what's the ancient Chinese proverb? It's like, you know, get knocked down 7 times, stand up 8.
Yeah.
So this business is too good to let some asshole, you know, put you out of the business.
Right.
And I get it. Like, I mean, here's the one thing, like, the one thing about network marketing that you don't control, okay? First of all, it's, you can get up when you want to get up. You don't have to go into an office. You have tax advantages. You've got complete upside potential, very low barrier to entry, total fluidity and flexibility. So there's amazing benefits. No employees, not all the traditional overhead. And literally, there's no limit to what you can do. But the only downside is you don't own the deal. You don't own the company.
Right.
So you're at the whim of corporate decision making, which, you know, some owners suck. Some are great. But, you know, when people ask me, it's like, oh, Todd, like what, if you're going to analyze a network marketing company, what do you look for? Is it the timing? Is it the product? Is it the comp plan? I'm like, no, man. I mean, none of those are like the owners. That's the first one on my list. Like who owns the deal? Who's running the deal? Have they run other companies into the ground? Or have they, do they have a proven, you know, a history of successes? Because, you know, past history is a pretty good indicator of what's going to happen in the future for most people. So I think if you're hurt, I get it. But it's like, you know, it's like get past the grieving and move on. Don't let somebody who it's like, okay, so you like, okay, the first girl I've ever fell in love with, she cheated on with me with one of my friends. Like, this is my very first love. Like I fell head over heels for this girl, and you know, oh, so I'm gonna just stop dating. I'm gonna be single for the rest of my life. I'm just not gonna ever, you know, be with a woman again. No, I'm gonna get, you know, I mean, yeah, it was hurt for a while, but I had to get back on the, well, I don't wanna say the horse. That's probably not the, the best way to phrase that. But you know, I had to get, you know, I had to start dating again, and I learned from that experience too. There are things that, you know, I brought into, and I mean, honestly, it's like I had one other woman that I dated for a couple of years, and then I met my wife, and we've been together for 32 years. So, and it's been, I can't even imagine. I'm like, I'm not dating anymore. It's like, I wouldn't have my kids. I wouldn't have my wife. I wouldn't have, you know, a lot of things. So I get the hurt, but I think it's important you analyze the hurt. Like how, like, am I, did they really hurt me? It's because every like MLM hurt is different. It's like, you know, some people feel they got hurt. Like I didn't succeed. And I'm like, honestly, like most of the time when people come to me, it's like, oh, this isn't working for me. I'm like, okay, well, how long have you been there? Well, I've been there for a year and a half. I'm like, okay, so be real with me. Like in the last, let's say 90 days, like how many people have you put in front of this business? Well, you know, not enough. Like that's almost the answer I get 100% of
every time.
And it's like, dude, so you're pissed off at the lack of the results from the work that you never did. That's just BS. That's like, you know, you already know why you're failing. You just didn't do the work. I mean, and here's the thing. It's like network marketing is hard work. Like if you're going to win here, you got to face like your inner demons, self-worth issues, you know, all the crap that goes on in your head about, am I good enough? Why would anybody ever follow me? Like I've never made money before. Maybe, you know, what if I fail? All the what ifs. You got to work through that stuff. So, But the business is so good. Like when you get it going right, like especially, and I've never done this, but I'm assuming that it's probably pretty like heroin or like cocaine. Like those are both two physiologically addicting drugs. And it's like, you know, it's like once you get a taste, you know,
Right.
you for whatever reason, I mean, there's something about those two drugs that cause you to come back again and again. And you know, once you get a taste of residual income, how could you not want to come back to it? Like I've had friends of mine, I'm like, dude, you were making 50 G's a month and the company went out of business. You can't get off your ass again and get back to work again. Like,
Let's
I mean,
do
it
it
was
again.
that good. Like, even if you got to $5,000 a month in residual income and it's just you're getting paid over and over again from the work you did one time, I'm still getting paid from a company I built like 20 years ago. And I haven't done anything in 20 years and they're still paying me. I'm like, that's a pretty good taste.
It's incredible.
I don't
I
want to
love
do
that.
absolutely.
My husband and I were just talking. I mean, I tell them all the time, I still make a check. I've not promoted. I've not done anything. I'm still getting paid. That's incredible residual power. Like it doesn't stop. What strategies do you use to connect to people who may not even seem relevant in your business or the industry? How are you reaching these people?
I mean, any way, every way possible. I'm like multiple reaching out methods. Like, I think one of the things I'm certainly concerned about is like, okay, just to give some perspective, like I started in network marketing before the internet existed. Like, if I wanted before cell phones existed, if I wanted to reach you on the phone, you had to be at home. Like, you didn't, there was no cord that was long enough to follow you down to the grocery store. So
Right.
I started pre-technology and we did it through like picking up the phone and in-home meetings or business presentations one-on-one or group presentations. And then, you know, long, and it's beautiful. Like, in fact, I get often asked like on podcasts, like, well, you know, geez, you've been in since the dark ages, Todd, like network marketing must have changed a ton. And the reality is network marketing as a business model hasn't changed hardly at all. What has changed are the tools, the bells and whistles and things that
Tools.
we can use to reach out to people and network. So like, you know, social media was one of the biggest game changers ever in network marketing, but also at the same time, I feel like it's creating like a generation of weakness because people aren't flexing that necessary communication muscle. It's like if you don't work out, you have atrophy. That means your muscles are shrinking. If you don't use, you know, your God-given talents or work on your talents of being able to do like what we're doing here, eyeball to eyeball, you know, having a conversation, an unscripted conversation. There's no scripts. I have no idea what questions you're going to ask me.
Right.
This is a communications business. This is a relationship connection business. So, you know, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or local networking groups, BNIs, meetups, like whatever you can do, my suggestion is you do it. If you just like, in fact, and this has only happened twice and it's not really likely to happen for any extended period of time, but there's been two major outages in Facebook in the last 10 years. That means like Facebook broke for the day. And I had, in both of those cases, I had people calling me in a panic. Oh my God, I'm out of business. I'm like, well, yeah, because you just do Facebook. One of my friends called me. He's like, our company only teaches Facebook. They don't teach anything outside of Facebook. I'm like, well, I'm like, bro, that's a mistake. You know that. And so I'm not anti-Facebook. I'm anti-censorship on Facebook. Totally different conversation that we could talk about for the next 6 hours. But I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on X, I'm not on TikTok, but I'm on most of these platforms because I need that for my business. But I don't just do it. In fact, up until I'm so glad you messaged me, by the way, because I was like so head down into making phone calls. I was like, oh my God, I gotta be on this thing. Like you sent me that Facebook message. I was like,
That's awesome.
12 minutes, I gotta get on here. So
Yeah.
I think if you're you have a lot of options. So I would say you exercise as many of those options as possible.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing like a phone call. And any move that I've ever made in business or any move I've ever made, it's not, honestly, it's not from the people that are messaging me. Like, try this out. It's when my phone rings and I'm like, oh my God, I haven't talked to her in 2 years. What's going on? Answer the call. I have something incredible for you to try. Boom. Okay, I'm in. You know, that the phone call, nothing is ever going to equal picking up the phone and calling somebody. I just think it's, you know, messages, even the voice clips. People are like, use voice clips. It's not the same.
No, it's better than a text message, like typing it, because you can use inflection and tone and pace and all, and they're less likely to be misread. It's like, I don't think a lot of people understand that. I could send you a text message and you get all pissed off at me. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Well, they put the inflection in the wrong place, so they read it wrong, even though they read the words. It's kind of like, what was like Elaine back in the day on Seinfeld. Like, she would, like, Jerry would do something and she would, like, pound him in the chest and throw him across the room and say, shut up. That was like one of her things that she did a
Yeah.
lot on Seinfeld. And she's saying, shut the F up. No, she's saying, get out of here.
Yeah.
No way. That's so, even though she used the word shut up, I do believe that, like, a voice shot is definitely more powerful. But picking up the phone
Yeah.
and like let's have it back and forth, man. If we're gonna do business together, I'm not gonna sit here and message you, message me back, message you, message me back. At some point, you gotta
Right.
take it to like a real life conversation.
I think that one of the things that I've watched that I've just, you know, as I would say, you're someone I follow for sure. I make sure I am checking in on what's going on in Todd's world, because I think you're phenomenal in the industry. Something that is very important to me and that I have literally built the foundation for who I am and what I'm doing is that personal branding. Personal branding is more important. It makes me sick when I see people marrying themselves to the company, when they're putting the company everywhere, like they're losing their identity in this company. But how do you balance, like, or how authenticity with self-promotion? How do you marry the two of those?
Yeah, I think if you're just, when it comes to branding, especially on social media, like, you're putting out who you are and people are connecting to you, your personality, your quirks, your funniness, your directness, your humor, whatever it is, whatever you are. And we're all different. And then you have a business, but the business isn't you. And I think, like, you know, I see some people that are just, you know, brand, brand, product, brand, product, brand. And people get sick of that. People don't go on anything on social media so that they can see your brand being pitched all the time. So I think it's about giving value, putting out thoughtful things, putting out, you know, whatever. I do a lot of like controversial, make people think kind of posts. I do a lot of humor type of posts. And you would have, you'd like, I like the idea of like creating a high degree of curiosity. It's like, what are you talking about? What is that? Like, not like, oh, here's the brand. Cause here's the thing. Like, there's such a thing called Google and ChatGPT, and they can go, hey, what is this company? And then they're going to go find out. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, somebody used ChatGPT the other day to book me for a speaking gig. That's how she found me. She's like, who are the top network marketing trainers in the world? And I was on the short list. And she,
oh, that's awesome.
I got booked for an event for like 2,500 people. So people are going to Google your company. I think, you know, just whoever you are as a brand, like, that needs to be authentic. Like, like, I know you're very you, you're very authentic. You're just, you know, I mean, you're not faking anything. You are.
It takes too much energy to fake it. And I don't have that level of energy. It's exhausting.
Same. And it's like, I got to remember what did I try to make up what I was yesterday? I got to try to do that again today. Just be you. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard to try to be somebody that you're not. And I'm not saying don't develop yourself and work on becoming the better version of you, but like, people love somebody who's real, who's straight
right.
up, you know, authentic. So, like if you see me on stage or off stage or in between stages or at home, mm-hmm. I'm the same dude everywhere. Like, it's not like, okay, I might throw a little more entertainment value because I'm up there performing on the platform, but I'm still the same dude. There's no, they're like, oh, that, well, Todd does that when he's at home with his kids. So, I mean, I'd be talking about network marketing training while I'm at home with my kids, but it's like the same tone, same guy. And it's just easier to be that way.
There's no telephone voice, right? Like, my kid, we don't have the telephone voice. Like, my voice now is exactly, I'm talking to the family. There's no.
I was talking to somebody like a couple days ago and they were like, we have a friend of ours. It's like, every time I talk to him, he's like, Mr. Whoa, hi, this is, you know, Todd from ABCFM, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, it's so inauthentic. I can't remember, I came up in a conversation. It's like, this guy talks like a radio guy every time he gets on the phone. And it's like,
yeah,
that's not how he talks. It's kind of weird.
No, it's not real. It's weird. It is so weird. What is, do you have an ick in the industry? Something that frustrates you or like a pet peeve?
Probably. I mean, what are my icks? I don't like it when people use a tremendous amount of hyperbole. I think obviously you want to be promotional and you want your deal to sound good. I mean, that's part of selling. But when you you know, this is the single greatest thing since sliced bread. Never before in the history of MLM has this ever been done. This is going to be the next $1 billion. We have the greatest compensation plan. I'm like, dude, I love it when people say that to me, because I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, cool. Will you show me the, you know, the statistical evidence that you did? Obviously, you did an you analyzed every single compensation plan against yours. So I would love to see that, you know, analysis. Here's my email. And they're like, what? I'm like, dude, sitting there saying you have the best, it might be like, that's subjective. I mean, it might be the best for you and you feel great about it, but that's a big turnoff. So I don't like when people get too pushy. I'm pretty, I wouldn't say I'm not pushy. I'm, I don't know. I don't know what the right word to describe me as. Assertive, I guess, would be the right word. But, you know, paying attention to somebody's clues. If the only thing that you can ever talk about is your network marketing business, you're more than your network marketing business. I think it's important that you realize that. People, your friends, people that you're around, they get tired of it after a while. Here he goes again. He's going to talk to us about his thing. Can't talk about anything else. I mean, get a life. So
yeah,
there's probably a few others, but those are a couple that come.
That definitely brings it through. When you face resistance or the skepticism from potential clients or potential partners, how do you turn that into an opportunity for that deeper connection? Because we all know that no just means not right now. You know what I mean? Like it's never a definite, an absolute. So how do you continue that relationship?
Yeah. And no, I mean, there are certainly instances where no means no. Like if a man is trying to push himself upon a woman and she says no, that means no.
Correct. But,
you know, in business, when somebody says no, or even if they take a flying freaking leap, I would never touch a network marketing business with a 10-foot pole. I mean, some of the biggest leaders that I know in the business were like that. So depending on the resistance that you have at that moment, I'm going to use my better judgment and go, okay, well, you're clearly not into network marketing. If I call you tomorrow, is that too soon? Probably. So
yeah,
I'll probably drop you in my calendar for somewhere, you know, 90 days or so, 90 days to 6 months out and check in. But I'm not going to take no forever. If you're like, hey, I'm super busy, I got a bunch of stuff going on right now, I'm in the process of remodeling my bathrooms in my house, and I can't think about anything. I'm like, cool, just, you know, give me a window and think, you know, I'm happy to give you enough space. You're like, oh, you know, I'm done at the end of December. Oh, cool. I'll call you like mid to late January. We can revisit the issue. And I think people appreciate that too. Cause they're like, wait, you're okay with like waiting. And it's like that the prospect begins to think, wow, well, they must have something. It's like, if you're willing to take it away from them, it's kind of like a brain F, you know, it's like, wait, he's okay with me. Like, even like if I was prospecting you, for example, about something, and I was going to say, hey, look, you know, Brandon, I got this video. I'd love for you to watch it. It's about 10 minutes in length. It goes into some detail on who our company is, what we do, and how you might fit into it if you decided to. And I'd love for you to just take a peek. I don't know if it's for you or not. And if it's for you, cool. And if it's not for you, just so you know, everybody that looks at this doesn't see this. And if you like it, we'll talk about it. And if you don't like it, I'm not afraid of you telling me no. You know, I'd rather have you just say, no, this is not my thing, because it may not be your thing. I've had people just like you look at it and they're like, no, not my thing. And what's interesting when you do that, it's like it creates a situation where people are less likely to ghost you, because people who ghost you are generally speaking people that you have a relationship with, and they do it because they don't want to hurt your feelings. And they're like, oh, I don't want to tell them no. I really don't want to. They feel uncomfortable telling you no. So they ghost you instead. But if you give them permission to tell you no, then they'll just tell you no. And that's, I'd rather have a no than you just like not answer my call.
Right. Well, so someone in the audience listening to this right now, they're like, man, this does sound cool. And he's right. Like, I mean, we're on our own schedule, right? We don't have an alarm clock. I have an alarm clock. It's the kids, but you know, I don't have to answer to anybody, you know, it's the freedom. So it's harder. There's a challenge. I'm not held accountable to show up at work at 9 o'clock. Right. So it's a little bit different, but if someone's listening to this right now and they're like, that sounds really appealing, like, I don't want to have to answer to a boss, where would you tell them to start? How do they find a company? Do they look for a product? Where would you guide someone who has never been in this industry? Let's talk to the audience that has no idea what network marketing is.
Honestly, like if they had access to someone like myself, that would be good because I pretty much know what's going on, who's good, who sucks. Unfortunately, most people don't have access to like somebody like myself at all times. So, you know, trying to go do a search for a network marketing opportunity, you don't know what you're going to get. That's pretty unusual though, for somebody like, okay, I'm going to go try to find a network marketing company. You could go Google top network marketing companies of 2024 and start to begin that. Like if somebody has zero connection at all to the network marketing mm-hmm. space, and they're going to go try to now seek out network marketing, which would kind of be unusual. That would probably be a good starting spot. I have people come to me all the time that are like, hey, you know, what's good? You know, that's all I do is talk to company owners and top leaders every day. So, you know, I know who the good leaders are, what companies are doing well, what companies aren't. So I often get, you know, I've placed people, and I'm not involved in these companies, but I've placed a lot of people. I took a European team just like, I don't know, like 3 months ago, who are looking for a company that had a foothold in Europe. And I was like, okay, well, there's a handful of selections. Here's a couple that I know really good leaders. And they ended up picking one of those two companies and they're doing great over there. So, but for somebody who has no connection to the space, I mean, Google or ChatGPT would probably be your friend.
Yeah.
But like if somebody does have a connection with someone like myself, and I'm in a very unique position from most network marketers, like you're not going to call your bro that's in company X and get an objective opinion. Your bro wants to put you in his deal.
Of course.
Yeah. So if you wanted to actually kind of have the pick of the litter, then, you know, having somebody like me, and there's not many me's around that just kind of know, I mean, it's my business to know what's going on. That's what
right.
So I have that happen. My wife calls me the network marketing therapist. Because I have people that call me and they share their woes and their troubles with me, and they just know I don't kiss and tell. And I've been a trustworthy guy that, you know, people can open up their mouth and share all their stuff with me, and they know that it's never going to be talked about ever again. I'm just that guy.
Right. You talked a little bit about how this is like a place of personal development. Like it's going to force you to kind of face your demons. What was like your biggest personal development struggle through your growing process? And I'm sure this was early on. I don't think.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the first thing for me was like a mental block because I was 22 at the time. And in my mind, I was like, you know, I've never made any money, man. Like I'm 22. Like, why is anybody going to follow me? Why would anybody listen to me? Like, I mean, and most people that I was prospecting were older than me. And I had this thing planted in my head that like, oh, if you're older than me, then you must know more. You must have life by the balls more. You must like whatever. And so that was a big kind of block for me. And then secondly, I made the mistake early on in my career, like within, I thought I was going to be making like 10 grand a month in 90 days. Nobody told me that, but that's like the seed that I planted in my head. So I created pretty unrealistic expectations. And I wasn't making like 10 bucks a month after 90 days, but I still quit my job that was paying me like a grand a week. I was selling cable television door to door, working 3 hours a night, three nights a week, which was like ridiculous, making $1,000 a week as a 22-year-old kid. And I quit that job, which is like, looking back, it was stupid because you know, it caused me to start to run out of money. I'm now having to live on, you know, 13-cent top ramen every night with like, I don't know how many milligrams of sodium that crap has in it because it's all I can afford. And then I was coming from like,
I love that you said 13 cent ramen because it used to be like 13 cents.
Oh yeah. I don't know. It's probably like a dollar now with inflation. I don't even know what it is now.
It's hilarious.
So I was coming from this beggy, pleady, desperation mentality. And even though I wasn't like, oh God, would you please, I need you to join so I can, you know, buy myself a pizza instead of eating top ramen or something. The tone and the energy that I was putting out was like this desperate, beggy, pleady tone. And it just, nobody was joining me. So I had to make a shift. And I remember making this shift. I was actually, this is where I got to my first $10,000 monthly check, and it stayed there. Was I was living in a one bedroom duplex in Pacific Grove, California. It's in Northern California. I was working out of a garage. Like there was, I mean, there was a carpet and they had a closet in there, but it was like a one car garage that converted into a room, and it was my office. And I wasn't picking up the phone going, "Hey, I'm sitting, I'm calling you from the garage. Things aren't going well." I thought one day, I'm like, well, this desperation crap isn't happening for me. So I was like, well, how would I carry myself if I was making, I don't know, 10, 20 grand a month? You know, would I be chasing that prospect 17 times? No. How would I carry myself? How would I talk? And I was like, oh, so I had to fake myself out into act. And actors do this all the time. Like think about any actor that plays a role in a movie. Mm-hmm. They are playing somebody that becomes so believable that we will cry or we'll be scared or we'll laugh. And it becomes, I mean, movies are crazy. They're like, it becomes like real in that moment. Mm-hmm. Well, you, even though you're not a professional actor, like how, just think to yourself, how would I carry myself? How would I act? How would I talk if I was making, you know, 10, 20, whatever the number is you put in your head? And so I began to do that. And it wasn't like, hey, I'm like, my name's Todd. I'm making 10 grand a month. You should listen.
Right.
It was just like, I would just carry myself with a higher degree of confidence. And if a prospect said, no, I'm not interested, I'm like, well, good. No worries, man. This obviously isn't mm-hmm. a good fit. Have a great day. Not like, what do you mean? Are you're not interested? Was it something that I said? You know? So I just started to shift the way I learned actually later, like 15 years later, I took a basic and a master certification in NLP. And I discovered that that's actually something that they teach. It's called perception as projection. So whatever you project upon somebody becomes their reality of who you are. So, you know, if the first impression, for example, if we met and I was like drunk and sloppy all over the place and, you know, slurring, mm-hmm. your impression is like, this guy either A, can't handle his booze, or B, is just a sloppy drunk. And even though that might not be me, maybe I don't ever drink, but I happen to drink that night. And it's just like, that's the way, because I'm not a drinker. All of a sudden I'm all sloppy. And that first impression that I projected upon you became your reality of who
you can't unsee that.
Yeah. So it's powerful, and you can project whatever you want. Now it's hard to do with people that you know, because you know, what's the phrase? Oh, you turned over a new leaf. Let's say you were a flaky, I don't know, you never fulfilled on your promises. Like, yeah, I can't count on you. Mm-hmm. You're whatever. You're all these things, and your friends know that. And let's say you finally turned over a new leaf and now you're different. Well, your friends, even though you're totally different, it's going to take a while for them to see the difference in you. Right. You could have changed that day, but they're not, they're like, well, this is, I got to, you know, I know what Todd's like. So that's going to take time. But people that you don't know, they don't know anything about you. They don't know whether you're making $1 million a month or you've never made it $10. And so you can project an image of success through how you communicate with them. And that is a big difference maker in terms of how people respond to you.
That's awesome. Projection is perception. I'm gonna have to do a whole episode on that now, because I'm just like, yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. So when I first started in the industry, it's been like seven years. I had my upline was one of those hyperbole. She was like, you're going to make $50,000 in 6 months. And there was a lot of very toxic things I was taught, and I'm very thankful. Like it was one of those, like, I'm very grateful for her. It was a very toxic experience, but many lessons. Right. But the thing she taught me, like, I still am embarrassed about sometimes that I did, you know, I came in and she's like, you have to block all these people. So I had a block list bigger than my friends list. You know, there was a lot of, like, there were so many things that I've had to go back and apologize to people. Like, look, I'm really sorry for who I was in this experience. Right. But there was just a lot of do's and don'ts. And one of the biggest ones for me that had weighed on me for a very long time is don't talk politics. Don't talk politics if you want to run a business. Everybody has said that to me. I'm a bartender and I talk politics, okay? So I talk politics in all the places I'm not supposed to. What is your opinion on something like that, when, you know, because I think it's been industry-wide. I think it was a whole taboo thing to do. How do you feel about that now?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard don't talk politics, don't talk religion. And I think that's kind of an old school philosophy. It's like, if you have a strong feeling about something, mm-hmm. I think you should stand up for what you believe in. And if it pisses somebody off, so be it. You know, it's kind of like, if you're, you know, like politics is very polarizing, very mm-hmm. polarizing. So you know, you if you're vanilla, kind of in the middle, like people don't really know how you stand, where you stand. You got people that like you, whatever. But you take a stand, you're gonna have people that are like, yeah, yeah, man, let's go. And then you're gonna have people that are gonna be like pissed off at you, but they still follow you because they're like, they want to argue with you or whatever. Like, I mean, politically, I'm conservative, so it's pretty clear what I am when I'm on my platform. But I also don't, I don't like do stupid insults that are childish. Right. So I have very strong feelings about where our country is at the moment and where we're going. And I do politics. I'm fairly careful. I mean, most of my, honestly, probably 95% of my audience is red. I've discovered that. I mean, I know just through, I mean, and a lot of entrepreneurs are, but not all entrepreneurs fall in the red category.
Right.
So I'm careful. I don't say things like, okay, I'm going to say it now, just as an example.
I don't want you to be careful.
I don't say like freaking libtards or stupid stuff like that. I mean, that's like kind of demeaning. I think politically things have changed. You know, the Democratic Party isn't what it was 20 years ago. It's been, you know, taken over by progressive far left. You know, it's just very, very different. It's why you've seen people come over, you know, you've seen Democrats come over to the Republican Party.
Yep.
And the Republican Party is not perfect either. I mean, we all, everything's got its issues, but I think like, you know, you gotta be you. Like, so, but I do understand like the thought process, just so people understand, the thought process is like, well, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have Republicans and Democrats and independents and green parties and libertarians, and you're going to have Christians, and you're going to have Jews, and you're going to have Catholics, and you're going to have agnostics, and you're going to have all these different people. And if you're like, you know, praising God, you know, what happens to the agnostics on your team? I mean, like, but if you really are, if you're a lover of God, then, you know, he wants you to be, you know, sharing the love. So I think it's, you know, yeah, you're going to eliminate, what you're going to do is you're going to get the right people in your corner. And honestly, like during this, last, you know, I don't know, 6-8 years, like I didn't even know where a lot of my friends stood politically until, you know, Trump came into office.
Right.
And then it's like, you know, cause nobody ever is so shocked, like this, you know, playboy from, you know, New York, like wins. And I think he won because people are tired of like this lifelong, you know, like Mitch McConnell, that guy's so freaking old, like he should,
I know,
like he's like, he looks like he's dead, you know,
he does.
I mean, he's freezes, it's like there should be, I mean, now we're getting a political conversation, which is fine, but like term
no limits. I love that, yeah, term limits for sure.
And people were completely shocked, and that guy's got nothing but attacked. Is he perfect? No, I didn't vote for the guy because he was perfect. I mean, he probably said grab the pussies, I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure he probably cheated on his wife. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that, but like, you know, I just think that it's better to be, again, this goes back to just being the authentic you. And like, if you're really, you're standing for, it's better to stand for something than fall for anything.
Right.
So, but that's, you know, you run your social media, how you choose to run your social media. If you want to be a little bit more vanilla, and I purposefully like you, I think like, it does, I don't have a, well, I mean, I do have a, I had a post recently. I said, God, family, country,
yeah,
you know, but which, you know, it's kind of interesting. Like, well, why does that have to be a Republican thing? Like, you don't, like Democrats can't believe in God and family and country. I mean, it's just, that's an American thing. That's
an American thing. It's been an American thing for a very long time.
Yeah. And it's like our American flag. Oh yeah. Well, let's burn the American flag. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? So I think, again, you got to choose how you want to operate. I'm not gonna tell anybody how to do it, but like, if you're too vanilla, too boring, you're not going to get people in your corner the way you could do if you were more polarizing. But I just don't like, I'm not a big fan of like the insulting polarization where you're
right
demeaning and you're putting people down and you're belittling people. We could have different, like we could have differing opinions. I got friends of mine that are, you know, on the far left of the equation from where I'm at that I can have great conversations with. And then I got some of them that he just starts yelling and I'm like, dude, calm down. Like,
it's not that serious.
Like, I don't hardly talk to him anymore just because the media, like, it just becomes almost violent with him. So I don't hardly even have a chat with him anymore.
Yeah. It's hard to watch the extremists, I think, that, you know, feel like their life is upside down. And it doesn't matter who the president is. Todd's going to run his business. He's going to wake up. He's going to love his family. He's going to do his hobbies. He's going to have things, right? Like, we're just living our lives. And that's kind of what I think we all voted for this time around. Is like, we just want to live our lives. Yeah. I don't want to have someone with a penis in the bathroom with my little girls. You know what I mean? Like, I care about that stuff. I don't care how you dress.
I don't have girls. And I'm like, no penises in the in female sports. No penises in the bathroom. Right. I feel for my safety, my kid's safety. This wide open border is a joke.
Insane.
Crazy. So I'm honestly very excited about what's going to happen. I'm still concerned that, you know, they're not going to give it another shot, literally speaking, before into office.
No, I think they're desperate. And I think, you know, obviously the let's nuke people is kind of like an opening to we're going to burn the world down if we can't be in office. So
he's like, not even like he's got dementia and he's like telling them to use our long range missiles. Like the last, like we are closer to World War III than we've ever been. That guy out of there. I'm like kind of pissed off at his wife, Jill. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, he's got dementia. It's obvious.
Yeah.
Pull the
I mean, they're bought and paid for, right? We know that. We know he didn't push the button.
I know. But it's just, yeah, this whole thing with Russia right now is kind of scary.
Yeah, it is insane. And I think what I'm excited about is that, you know, we have been literally paying taxes on taxes on taxes to support things that aren't even doing what they're supposed to be doing. I think it's a messed up system. And like, I think that's my biggest prayer is like, let's rein in some of these businesses and companies in the federal government that aren't necessary.
Go Doge, Elon and Vivek.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know how you can give either one of those guys shit because they're both very successful business people who've run very successful billion-dollar businesses, and the government is one of the most wasteful. Like, they waste money on crap all the time. I have friends of mine that have done government contracts. I've seen it. It's not a joke. It's not like when you talk about paying $25,000 for a toilet seat.
Yep.
That's not an exaggeration.
No.
There's so much. So it's our tax money that's being wasted. Yeah. Somebody needs to go in there and say, we're done.
And not just being wasted, but laundered. Like, why are we giving money? It's a money laundering scheme. All this bullshit with Ukraine. I'm like, why are we doing that? But then we've got people who are literally going through a natural disaster in the United States of fucking America, going through it, who can't get food, who can't get water. They're taking kids from parents because their homes are destroyed and they don't have a shelter. And I'm sure it's kids just to pull into the sex trafficking bullshit. And it's a vicious cycle. Why aren't we helping our people first? Like, we take care of our home. Right? Like, I'm responsible for my home. You're responsible for your home. We take massive responsibility for that. And then we pay to take care of our state. Like, let's get our road paved. Let's do these things. And then the United States puts our tax money to work for the United States, not every other country around us that we have no business dealing with. Take care of your home first.
It bothers me when I see these ads for like Wounded Warrior and Tunnels for Towers or some of these like organizations that are designed to give money to veterans. We sent them over and they lost a leg and they lost their life and they lost their mind, and they should be taken care of some other country. I mean, we're still giving like, what is it, $70 million a month to the Taliban?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Exactly.
Insane.
What the fuck is it? But the cool thing is, I've talked about this for a while. Like, we have to bring insane asylums back. Obviously, if you're on X and you're on these things, you're seeing these videos of people starting this huge thing. Like, we're going to shave our heads. We want everybody to die. We're going to kill ourselves. If I see you in the street, I'm going to kill. I've not seen so much violence as when he won the election. Like, it's just the threats of violence and the people. That's a sickness. Like, they're mentally ill. You're mentally ill if you've put that much weight into a person thinking that it has that much impact on your current life. I think we, you know, bring that back. And my husband told me the other day that Trump just did a speech. He's bringing it back and he's going to start taking care of vets and get homeless people off the streets. So I'm like, let's Let's go. God protect this man at all costs. Get him in office and protect him twice over.
Yes. Oh, this is fun. I like this conversation.
I know it is. We kind of got off topic, but it is, you know, Wealth Check Wednesday. And I think this is a change for our money. This right here is going to, you know, give us the power to do what we want with our money and not hand it over to the government so much. And you know, I think it's powerful. So I want you guys to come into this. I want you listening to this episode, and I want you to think, man, I do want to start making some money. I do want to, you know, make an impact in my life and make an impact in other people's lives. Like, you're doing nothing broke.
No. And I'm like, I haven't been price sensitive for a long time. Like, I'll like go to a restaurant and I pay the tab and it's almost like I blacked out. Like the amount doesn't register, or I go to the grocery store or it's Costco and the amount mentally doesn't register. But now I'm like, I mean, cause I've just, it doesn't register cause I've always had, you know, plenty of cash.
Yeah.
And now I look at stuff, like I look at my hot sauce that I've bought for 20 years for my tacos. That was $1.99 pre COVID and pre where we are. And now I'm looking at it, it's like $4.99. I saw one time it was $5.99. I'm like, what the hell? I still bought it.
Right.
But like, how many people that are not in my situation that they got to choose, like, what am I going to eat? You know, or am I going to have like medical for my family? So you know, I think, we need a change. And like, people have got to realize, like, look, the dude won the popular vote. He won the electoral vote. That's what your fellow brother and sister country man and woman wants.
Yeah.
So, like, a majority, that means more than half. That's what they voted for.
Right.
So let the guy just do his job. He's got four more years. He didn't even have a chance to really do his job the first time because he was on, you know, he was getting attacked nonstop. I mean, the guy has got to be, I have way more respect for him now because to take a beating like that, like get shot at, be like prosecuted, be impeached, all this other crap, and he's still fighting for our country.
Yeah.
That's just mind-boggling to me.
Right. And he doesn't have to. I mean, he can go retire on a beach somewhere and do whatever, play fucking golf all day long. He doesn't have to be doing this.
No, I mean, that's another thing. And so I get it. Like, he's not presidential. He's, you know, he calls, you know, Tampon Tim. And
well, I love that the most about him. I'm not going to lie. I'm really starting to love the shit talking. Like, let's just call it what it is.
He's good with the nicknames. That's for sure.
But I mean, that's what my husband and I call him. So why wouldn't we vote for a president that can relate to that? Tampon Tim. That's what he is.
Well, look what's happening with CNN and MSNBC right now. MSNBC is on the block and CNN is laying off people. I think the American public is sick of the lies, and most people, like, they call it programming, TV programming, for a reason.
For a reason.
Trying to program your mind. And so, like, all these mainstream media outlets, when he talks about fake news, I mean, they're constantly lying. And the average American who comes home from a hard day's work, sits down on the couch, eating their dinner, watching Rachel Maddow, they're buying into this bullshit that they've been fed.
Right.
And so now that's what they believe. Like, oh,
that's their reality.
Like, he's a Nazi. Like, okay, I'm a white Christian married straight man. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so according to the left, that means I'm a neo-Nazi right-wing Christian extremist. Like, what the fuck? Like, that shit just pisses me off right there.
It's insane.
Like, I mean, I'm like not that at all, but that's right. How they would label me. Mm-hmm. So this is so crazy because every podcast I've ever done is like, okay, let's talk about making money in network marketing. I have these conversations privately all the time, but
yeah,
have this conversation. You know, I'm not afraid of it. So I think this is great.
Yeah. I mean, I've not made it a secret where I stand. And I think it's not even about politics anymore. Politics ended a long time ago for me. It wasn't about Republican. It wasn't about Democrat. I voted Democrat before. These aren't your parents' Democrats. It's about the values. Like, what do I really believe? You know, and it's about everything being forced on me. I don't care who you're sleeping with. I don't care who you have sex with. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. I don't care. I don't have to hear about it. Dress how you want. If I was a guy, I love makeup and hair so much. I feel like if I was born a guy, I would probably dress like a girl. Because why wouldn't I love it so much. So I get it. Dress like a girl, but that doesn't mean that you get to have periods and you get to take away women's rights. Like, you're telling me that you...
A birthing person?
A birthing person, yeah.
That's a mother and a father. A mom. Mm-hmm. You can, like, they're so wild what they're... Just don't shove it down our throats.
We're trying to make laws about this. That's where I drew the line. And that's where I draw the line in my ethics and my beliefs. And that's, you know, if you're going to be in my system, we're not going to live in a fantasy land.
No.
You know, we're going to keep it real. You know, if you have a dick, you're not a chick.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. No balls in the stalls. That's
exactly.
It's so fun. Cause I had like, I knew I liked you when we first met, like several years ago. You got just like, I knew you had this like fire energy.
Yeah.
Let's say, I had no clue where this conversation was going to go, but cheers out of my 35-year-old coffee mug. I got to take
right.
A sip. Awesome.
Well, that's why I don't script this, because I feel like every conversation, like there, that's something I can deliver all the time, is that authenticity. If I'm going to be on a podcast, I don't want the questions, like just real, raw. I don't do time limits. It's just let it go where it goes. But this, yeah. Thanks for getting into all that with me.
No worries. Love it.
It is awesome. But let's steer back to just kind of leave the audience with that. Let's talk money, that extra stream of income. What, you know, maybe not even network marketing. Like, what other areas of income would you point people in the direction of? Because you said you have a lot of revenue coming in, not even just your businesses. So some newbie who isn't financially smart or responsible and doesn't know, they just don't know what they don't know. They've been working the 9 to 5. They found me on TikTok. They jumped onto my Facebook page. Now they're hearing my podcast. They don't know what they don't know. What would be the first step for you to guide them into making money and making money work for them?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, you have to have money to have the money working for you.
Right.
Regardless of, here's the thing, like I was taught this a long time ago, regardless of how much or how little you make, you need to pay yourself first. Like, there's a great book called The Richest Man in Babylon. It's a very easy read, and I'll just leave it there. It's a powerful, simple read that I think everybody should read. And it just tells a story of like how you create wealth, and it's never too late to start. And so what people do is they get their check, and, you know, they got the taxes taken out of their check if they're a W-2 employee, and then they start paying their bills with it. And fine. I mean, I get it. We have bills and so on. But like, okay, you take minimum of 10% of that and you put it away into something that's interest bearing. I'm not going to tell you where to put it, whatever stock, mutual fund, whatever you're going to do. And that's not to go buy a car. That's not to go shopping. That's like later. That's your retirement. This is like you mm-hmm. putting money away for you. And you're like, okay, so I remember when I was in college, my buddy who I still invest with to this day, who started working with a company called Mass Mutual, which does whole life and term and all these different, you know, policies that are tax deferred types of investments. And he's like, dude, I was like one of his first clients. And he's like, oh, I want you to be one of my clients. And he's like, you know, and I'm like, I can't save any money. He goes, you can put $50 away. $50. It's like when I was 21. He's like, you can do 50. He goes, if you can't do $50, man, you got to like stop drinking beer or doing something. Like you can squeeze.
Sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah. So I begrudgingly started, you know, putting $50 away in that one account. I've put $50 away in that same account for like 37 years.
Nice.
And it's crazy to see what $50 a month over. Now I've got multiple accounts with him at different, you know, monthly dollar amounts. But to see what that's turned into over 30 something years, I mean, what is it? Warren Buffett calls compounded interest like the eighth wonder of the world. Like,
yeah.
It can happen over an extended period of time. I think that's something for everybody to look at. You know, I'm not going to give financial advice, say where you stick the money, but you know, no matter how much you're making or how little, and if you can't put money away, then look at what's necessary and unnecessary. You don't need to have mm-hmm. cable TV.
Right.
You don't need to have this other expense over here. You don't need to have the weekend of golf with the boys that cost you $120. That $120 could be going into something that's saving, you know, so there's something's got to give. So even before you start a business, that's a you know, something to consider. Secondly, a lot of times people don't talk about, specifically with network marketing, almost any other business that you start, the moment you go from a W-2 employee to a self-employed individual, that puts you into a different tax category.
Correct.
You're now, if you have limited deductions as a W-2 employee, like, okay, if you have kids, you got a child tax credit, you have interest deduction on a home if you own a home, but that's almost where it starts and ends. But now, oh, I'm a self-employed person. Well, this camera that is shooting me right now, which is like a very expensive camera, that was a tax deduction. The lighting that I have, tax deduction. The desk, tax deduction. The computer, tax deduction. The microphones, tax deduction. You know, all of these things. So there are a lot of expenses that many people are already incurring that can move into a deductible category. So even before you've actually even profited from your business, if you got a good CPA, those things become tax deductible, so that even if you didn't make any more money, it reduces your taxable income. And there's a statistic, like, I don't remember what with the median household income, the average person, just by starting a business with the existing expenses that they have monthly, they would net out about an additional $400 to $500 per month of net income, as kind of an end result, without even profiting in a business, just by getting started. So from a tax standpoint, it makes sense.
Right.
So yeah.
No, I definitely can speak to that, because my husband is still the W-2. He's a welder at a company. And so me having the multiple businesses, our write-offs are incredible. And this is why it's important, you guys, because our tax money, we aren't paying what normal people are paying because of that write-off. So I would do it for that write-off, because we're not happy to give money to the government. And of course, I'm going to bring Trump back into it. Whatever. People are like pissed because he didn't pay taxes or some shit. And I'm like, that's a smart businessman. He gets to donate his money wherever he wants, wherever he sees fit, because he made his money work for him and he was smart about his write-offs. And I think everybody should be taught that. Taught to, you know, be able to get your taxes lowered 100%. So smart business, smart business. If anything, do it for the tax write-off.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Awesome. Is there anything that you would want to say to leave the audience with today? I do want to make sure you guys check the episode notes so you can find websites. I'm sure we could get a link to the book there. And you guys could find him on all the socials. I'll get that linked up in there as well.
Yeah, let me give you, there's a video series. It's funny. I've got a cheat sheet because I don't remember exactly. I have so many websites. I'm going to give this to your audience. Let me find it real quick. This is a video series that I produced. There's no strings attached. It's 17 of the best tips. Like, okay, I've got 35 years of doing this. This video series is 17 of the best money-making tips that I could give you specifically for making money in network marketing. I deliver them to you daily, so they allow it to sink in. If you go to toddfalcone.com, that's my main website, but if you go /, GoTime, GOTIME, you can get access to that video series. I produced that a couple months ago, and you know, it's a free video series. It doesn't cost you a dime. And I would suggest that when each video comes out, you got a journal out or notepad out, because it's fine to watch the video, but it's like what you do with the video that makes a difference. Like,
right.
People learn all the time, and then they just get into consumption mode and they don't get into production mode.
We want you guys in production mode. Todd, thank you so much for your time today. This is a fun conversation. Make sure you guys link up, follow him. It's worth it. There's nuggets all the time there. So I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a
fun. Absolutely. Show. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Bye.